Today's scripture is from John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. John 1, 35 to 42. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. This is the word of God.
So you may be familiar with the story of King Midas. Everybody heard of King Midas? King Midas was a king. He was really into his money, and he was so into his money that he had his own little counting house. And every morning, he would go to his counting house, and he would count his money. And at least in the version I saw, he would sing to his money, because I only watch Disney stuff. So he's singing to his money. And on this particular morning, he's singing to his money, and he gets to the end of the song, and he sings this verse. He says, "My love for all things gold is such that I could never have too much. Oh, I wish that all I touched would turn to gold, gold, gold." He didn't do it quite that well, but you know. But anyway, as he sang this song, a fairy appeared and granted his wish. And then everything he started to touch turned to gold. His dishware turned to gold. His, you know, dinnerware turned to gold. The doorknobs turned to gold. It was great. It was the exact thing he wanted. Nothing could be better than this. Everything is turning to gold. Until he realized that along with the dishes and the dinnerware and the doorknobs, his dinner was turning to gold. Piece of chicken he picks up turns to gold, you know, the goblet with the wine turns to gold, and pretty soon he starts getting hungry, and pretty soon he starts getting starving, and then pretty soon he's calling, he's pleading for that fairy to come back and take away this golden curse. So the moral of the story is, you know, you be careful what you ask for. Someone comes to you and says, "What do you want?" Well, it pays to be a little careful about what you answer. Now, we probably will not have a fairy come into our lives and say, "What do you want?" We probably won't have to face that. But I truly believe, and I bet you'll agree with me if we think about it, that in every day, in every minute, every situation that we're in, Jesus is saying, "What do you want?" And I think that the best answer to that question is Andrew's answer that we hear in this passage today. Now, Andrew was a guy, he's a follower of John the Baptist. And you'll remember in your Bibles that John the Baptist was down by the Jordan River, and he's baptizing people. People are coming to him to be baptized as a sign of their willingness, their desire to change their hearts and their lives, to make a big dramatic change in their lives, to begin to follow God in righteousness. And all of this, John says, is in preparation for a Messiah who is coming, God's Savior, who is coming, who's going to start changing the whole world. So hundreds of people are coming down to be baptized by John. And on one day, out of those hundreds, one of them is Jesus himself. And John testifies that as Jesus comes down to be baptized and walks into that Jordan River, and as John puts Jesus' head down under that water and lifts it back up, John says he sees the Holy Spirit in bodily form, like a dove, come and rest upon Jesus. And then he hears a voice. It says, "This is my son with whom I'm well pleased." And John knows at that minute that this Jesus really is the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's the Son of God, sent by God into the world. Well, the next day, Jesus comes walking by again. And John points him out. He says, "Hey, there he is. There's that Messiah. There's that Savior. There's the Lamb of God." Now, as he says that, there's this guy, Andrew, and he's there, and he hears this, and he sees Jesus, and he goes as fast as he can. He pursues Jesus. He follows after him. He runs after him, and as he approaches Jesus, well, Jesus turns around, and then I would imagine, you know, with all the intensity and all the searching and all the knowing who we are from before we are born, with all the love that Jesus had in him, the love of God, with all of that just in his eyes, he hooks eyes with Andrew, and he says, "What do you want?" Now, I would imagine that that question kind of just knocks Andrew back on his heels. It would me. If I was face to face with Jesus and he says, "What do you want?" I think my mind would really start reeling, you know. I might start going through all of those things. What's the perfect desire? What's the perfect thing to ask him? What's the one thing I could ask him that wouldn't have any bad effects down the road, that would really change my life? I might go reaching for my prayer list, you know, with all those people on it, all those things that God's laid on my heart, you know. I'd be tongue-tied, but not Andrew. Jesus says, "What do you want?" And Andrew comes back with the perfect answer for the guy that Andrew is. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Andrew. We know who his father is. We know who his brother was. We know he was a fisherman. But one big thing that I think we can divine from just looking around at this story a little bit is that Andrew, he's a fisherman, but he's not fishing. He's down at the river with John the Baptist. He's down there with this kind of commitment to want to change his heart and his life. Andrew is one of those guys and girls. He's a seeker. Andrew's a seeker. And in those days and in these days, seekers are those people for whom the everyday of life just doesn't seem like it's quiet enough. Those people who are looking for a deeper meaning in their lives. Seekers are those people who really feel the truth, which is that everybody is wired to want to know God. Everybody is wired to be searching for God. Seekers are those people who are looking to know God, and, you know, the cares and the pressures of the world haven't crushed that desire in them. That desire to know God, it hasn't been destroyed by disappointments in life. That desire to know God, it hasn't been taught out of them by, you know, different kinds of education or false ideologies. That desire to know God hasn't been burned out of them by giving themselves over to hedonism or materialism or all the isms that take the place of God. Those seekers are those people who will pursue God until they find God. And maybe you know somebody like that, or maybe you are somebody like that. That's who Andrew is. He's a seeker. And that's why when Jesus turns on him and he says, "What do you want?" Andrew has the perfect answer. "What do you want?" Jesus says. Andrew says, "Where are you staying?" Andrew's desire. Jesus, I want to be with you. I want to do what you do. I want to live in you. What do I want, Jesus? I want your desires to become my desires. Andrew has the perfect answer because it's the answer of a disciple, of a real live disciple. It's the best answer that anyone could come up with, I think, when Jesus says, what do you want? And Jesus says, what do you want to us every single day, every single minute, in every situation we're in, right? Am I right? Listen. Today, tomorrow, the next day, we're going to be tempted. We're going to be tempted. We're going to be tempted to lust. And maybe it's sexual lust, but maybe it's the other kinds of lust. The lust to power. The lust to control things in our family. To be, you know, whatever. With that lust. And that lust is going to be saying to us, what do you want? We're going to be tempted to anger. You know, we're going to feel affronted. We're going to feel insulted. That anger and that pride is going to well up in us. We may even be tempted at that moment to take that skewer, you know, the one that really we know, only we know how to use, you know, with those we love the most, and kind of use it on them. We may be tempted to do those things, and that anger is going to be saying, what do you want? We're going to be tempted to indolence, just laziness. We're not going to feel like doing our duty as fathers, as mothers, as husbands, as wives, as sons and daughters. We're just not going to feel like it. We're not going to want to do it. And that temptation to self-centeredness is going to be saying, hey, what do you want? But you know, we need to consider that in every one of those situations at the same time, if we're listening, Jesus is also saying, what do you want? What do you want? And if our answer is Andrew's answer, hey, Jesus, I want to be with you. Jesus, I want to do what you do. Jesus, I want you to live in me. Jesus, I want your desire right now to be my desire. If that can become our default answer every minute, every day, every situation, if that's our default answer, we're going to start to see some really radical change in our lives. It can't miss. But if we want that to be the default answer in our lives, you know, we have to get used to staying with Jesus. We have to get used to being with him, staying with him. So where is he? Well, he's here. So congratulations, everybody. You already answered the question in the right way today. Isn't that awesome? The world has already asked us, what do you want? Already this morning, right? What do you want? Well, sleeping in would be a good deal. Well, you know, maybe getting ready for the game later, that would be a good deal. I'd like that. You know, what do you want? What do you want? But every one of us here heard Jesus say, what do you want? And we said, I want to be where you are. Where are you staying, Jesus? And we're here. And that's a good thing because this is where we exercise our faith. This is where we start to understand how we exercise loving one another, how we exercise giving grace to one another, all those things that we want to do for each other and then take out into the world. This is where we exercise. Like I was telling the kids, right? This is the place. So awesome. We're all here. We answered right on Sunday. But what about tomorrow? Tomorrow's Monday. What are we going to answer tomorrow morning when Jesus says, what do you want? What do you want? Well, 15 more minutes would be nice in bed, you know. My daughter used to always say to me, five more minutes. What do you want? Another cup of coffee would be good. That would be awesome. And I need that, Lord, you know, to get out there and do my thing. What do you want? The world says, what do you want? Well, you know, it'd be nice to keep the kids in bed until the very last minute, and then we can go off to school with them. But you know what? If we're listening to what Jesus says, what do you want? I don't know if that's quite the answer. I would say that what the answer would be is, where are you staying? And where he's staying is in his word. Tomorrow morning, he's staying in his word, isn't he? We've got got to take that time in the morning to get up in the morning and read and get into the Word of God. And then pray those prayers, you know, have that conversation with God. And I'm, parents especially, before anybody else gets up in the morning, that's the time to get set with God, to get staying with God, to be with God. And then when your kids get up, you're ready to do that with them. Get in the Word. Pray with them. Even if it's only for 5 minutes, 3 minutes, okay, 3 minutes, whatever. Don't send them out there until you've stayed with Jesus. Hey, if we do those two things, if we make this place, you know, the anchor for the week, and we make our prayer and devotional life the anchor for the day, then you know what? Jesus is going to be anchored in our hearts. Jesus is going to be staying in our hearts. And then no matter what we're going through, no matter what's happening, we're going to be ready to hear His voice. What do you want? We're going to be ready to respond. Jesus, I want your desires to be my desires. Right? And then, oh God, then we're going to see change in our lives. We're going to see change in our lives. We're going to see change in our families. And we're going to see change. We're going to make change in other places. I was just thinking, going through my mind, you know, that I was talking about kids and parents a second ago. But, you know, when we get older, like me, you know, my kids are gone. That time in the morning of that prayer time, that time in devotion comes up with all kinds of awesome things to text to them, because we don't know at that point. When they're gone, we don't know. Grandparents, too. We don't know what they're going through. And God will tell us, you know, God will give us those signals of what they might need. Texting is great. Anyway, look, when we start to do that, we can really hook in to God and let His desires become our desires. We can make radical change in our lives, and we can start to change the lives of others, which is what Andrew did, right? Andrew, he had this thing with Jesus. He says, where are you staying? And we know, I don't know, they went someplace, but you know that wherever they went, there was the kingdom of God where they were staying. And it changed Andrew. And what did he do? His first thing, yeah, Jesus' desires became his desires. And he went straight to his brother and he said, hey, wake up. Your life is changing today. And he brings him right before Jesus, who sees things in Peter, sees things in Simon that he doesn't know are there. And he changes his name to Peter, which is the rock. And it's the beginning of the church. Who says we can't make a difference? See? When we hear his voice saying, what do you want? And we answer with Andrew's answer, it opens up a whole new world of possibilities for us. Changes our prayer life. Lets God's desires begin to become our desires. It really makes radical change. So listen, every single day, every single minute, every situation we're in, we're going to be hearing, what do you want? Let's just consider that Jesus is also saying, what do you want? And if we can say, oh Lord, Jesus, I want to be where you are. I want to do what you do. I want you to live in me. I want your desires to become my desires. We'll be answering with Andrew's answer. And we'll see change in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, let's go ahead and pray together. Dear Jesus, we praise you for your word. We praise you for your story. We praise you for your life and all that it teaches us. We ask, oh God, now that you help us to exercise those muscles that help us become your followers, your disciples. We ask, oh God, that you remind us each day and every minute that you're saying, what do we want? And oh God, help us to have the courage and the strength to answer, where are you staying? Lord, we praise you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.